The chapter 2. Our text verse was actually our memory verse for today, our passage, and it's found in 2 Timothy chapter 2 in verses 3 and 4. Also, if you'll look and hold your place in chapter 4 in verse 7 and 8. If you're able to stand with me if you would in reading the Word of God in reference to that. Let's start reading in verse 1. Paul says, "Thou therefore," speaking to young Timothy, "my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure," that is to suffer hardness, "as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man," no soldier in other words, "that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Look in chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Paul continues to young Timothy as he closes this book out. And he says, "Timothy, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Would you pray with me as we bow? Our gracious Father, we're thankful for this time that we can meet today to worship you. But also, Lord, in our country, we thank you that we can remember those who have given their life, that we may know freedom. Freedom, Lord, to live in our land, dear God, to where we can come and go freely, that where we can worship freely, where, God, that we can have a family and raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We thank you for America and what it's represented over these last few hundred years, Lord, and Lord, the life that has been given for all of us, all the lives, Lord, the sacrifice has been paid. We thank you for that. Now, Lord, challenge us from your word today how we as well can be good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ in the army that you've called us into. And Lord, to be faithful servants. Now bless in the word of God and the preaching of it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. This weekend, we observe Memorial Day. Actually, Memorial Day was first observed on May the 30th, 1868, simply to honor those who died in the Civil War. Now, on Memorial Day, we honor the memories of all those who have died in the military in the service of the United States of America. And you know what? We would do well today, all of us would do well to remember who gave the ultimate sacrifice where we can ensure the freedoms that we, of course, enjoy this morning. Aren't you thankful for your freedoms today? You know, all it takes is for us to go to another country and visit places like China or Russia or some of these other countries where they are told what they can or cannot do and they don't have the freedoms that we enjoy. In America, we can worship however we want to worship, whoever we want to worship. Right now, I'm thankful that we can worship Almighty God. Now, our freedoms are being tested today. Our religious freedoms are being tested. And they will be more so until Jesus comes. There have been hundreds, as we know, and thousands of great soldiers in this country who have given their life. While we honor the war dead throughout America's history this morning, another great soldier comes to my mind. And I'm reminded of those who are in God's army, you know, who have died on the battlefields of faith, for their faith. And of the legacy that they have left behind. You know, I am referring to people like those mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. And we often refer to that as the Hall of Fame of faith. There's great men and women of God who were good soldiers of the cross and who died on the battlefield to preserve our precious faith. You know, I want to honor them as well, much like we would our own soldiers who have fought for this country and have given their life for this country that we might know freedom. So as we think of these people who have sacrificed so much for us, I want to remind you of a very awesome truth. And that is, one day, church, as believers, as we all know, our lives are going to be over. It could be over today. It could be over tomorrow. 20 years, we just don't know the time that we're going to be here. None of us do. And death has no age limit. Young, old alike experience death. And we know that. We don't like to be reminded of that. But one day we know our life here is going to be over. And one day every person in this room will be just a memory to those living on this planet. Now, while it comes time for you to leave this world, and when that does, the question we might want to think about is, what kind of legacy will we leave behind? You know, when people remember the kind of person you were, will they remember you as a soldier of the cross? I mean, one who was on the battlefront for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the time to think about these things really is now, not to wait till we get later in life or maybe that point of where we know that death is knocking at our door, but, you know, now is the time. Now, after you're gone, it'll be too late to think about that, right? I mean, we know that. I don't have to remind you of that. Preacher, don't go too far into that, right? But that is true. The time to think about those things is now. And as Paul, he was really telling Timothy to do that. Paul is giving Timothy the same challenge that I'm giving you this morning from the Apostle Paul. That, listen, don't wait to do something for God later, but do it now. Paul was getting ready to go into the process of death, or enter into the process of death. And he knew that. Matter of fact, this was the last letter that we know he wrote. And he's writing to young Timothy, and as a good soldier, he lays out some things for Timothy to be reminded of. You know, Paul was in a Roman prison at this time. But from that cell, the great apostle took steps to ensure that he would be remembered as a good soldier of the cross. He took the time to write to young Timothy and to give him the secret to becoming a good soldier. You see, and it is that thought that I would like to consider this morning as we think together about the qualities that Paul gives Timothy of what a good soldier is to be like. A good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps I hope this will encourage all of us today to become better soldiers for Christ. Now, I would imagine if you're a believer this morning that you would like to put yourself in that category of a soldier for Christ. Just like we're proud Americans. When I went to Australia and I visited there with a missions team several years ago, you know, they could tell real quick I was an American. I mean, I had a foreign language to them from being in the South. But yet, I didn't mind telling them that I was a proud American. And you know, the same should apply for believers. We should take pride in the fact that we have our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That we know Christ, that He is our Lord. And there's some things that we want to relate to others. But it takes a good soldier to do that of Christ. And I want to just look at some of these qualities. They're right here in Scripture that Paul gives to young Timothy of what a good soldier of Christ is to be like. First of all, in this It's right here in verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. And Paul is just challenging Timothy to be a follower of Christ. A follower. Now, this is not to say that he's not challenging Timothy not to be a leader, obviously. You know, Paul and God wants us to be leaders for Christ. But I want you to notice the word follower has a... And what Paul is writing here in this verse when he's talking about being a good soldier. You cannot be a good soldier unless you follow the right kind of leadership. And so this implies a relationship. To be a follower, you have to have a relationship with one that you're following, right? And so the first step is to join the army. No one can be a soldier for the Lord until they first get into God's army, right? We can say that I go to church every Sunday. We can say that I read my Bible. But yet, are you a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you had that relationship with the Lord? And I dare say most everybody in this room probably have that relationship. Now, this is accomplished, as we well know. John 3 and verse 3 says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, unless you have a relationship with Christ, you'll never enter into heaven. Never enter into the gates of heaven. You see, to be a good soldier of Christ, it starts with having that relationship. And then the word follower that I relate to you, that I believe that Paul is relaying here in this passage, it implies rank. You know, when serving in the military, and there's several, by the fact, raise your hand if you've served in the military. In our country. It's several of you. Thank you for your service. But as you well know, and I think you can back me up on this comment, when serving in the military, there's always someone higher than you, right? I mean, you always, when you sign up to go in the military, you start out at the bottom, right? And you hopefully work your way up. That's the goal, I guess. But you have somebody that's higher than you, that you're following. And the same is true in the Lord's army. Every child of God is ranked under Jesus and is responsible for following and glorifying God in their lives. Look, if you would, over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Chapter number 6. Hold your place in our text verse, but go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and notice what Paul says in a familiar passage in verse 19 and 20 in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul says, what? He asks the questions, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In other words, we're to show God's character in our bodies and in our spirit, which are God's. So this implies rank as we follow leadership, which, of course, the Lord is the one that we look to. He's over us, right? And of course, He's going to guide us and direct us. He'll tell us the ways to go. But our goal is to glorify God as we follow His leadership. Now, we get in trouble sometimes when we like to say, I'm a Christian, I go to church, but yet we like to take over the reins and we like to lead when we really are not willing to follow the one who is above us. Boy, that gets me in trouble a lot, doesn't it, you? When I try to step out on my own sometimes. And it does all of us. Not only does this word follower imply a relationship that we're all to have, not only does it imply the fact of rank whom we're to follow, but the word follower implies rule. Now, nobody likes rules. But you know what? As I tell my kids in life, you're always going to have somebody telling you what to do. And I've told this story before. One kid told me years ago, he said, Mr. Moore, I'm going to make a bunch of money one day. I'm going to get rich and have all kind of money, and nobody's going to tell me what to do. I said, well, until the federal government comes saying, hey, I want some of that money, and you're going to have to give it up. So, yeah, somebody's going to be telling you what to do. You know, rules are not something that is, you know, we often like, but they're part of life. And so to be a follower, you know, we have to be willing to follow orders that are given to us. Now, if you're in the military, and by the way, tell me, if you don't follow orders in the military, what do they consider that? Well, if you don't follow the orders, isn't it kind of like along the line of treason? If you don't honor your country and, and follow the orders, I mean, real quick, you'll find out, hey, there's a price to be paid. You know, when we are in the Lord's army, we have the obligation of obeying God's orders. And even unto death, God says. Notice in Matthew chapter 16, you don't have to turn there, but you can, in verse 24, in Matthew chapter 16, notice the call that Christ gives that is not changed, by the way, today. In Matthew 16, verse 24, says, "Then said Jesus to his disciples, if any man, generically, any man or woman will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and do what? And follow me." Follow me, Jesus says. Jesus says you need to have that relationship. He's implying, hey, I'm the one in rank here. And then also, he says, hey, the implication, there's some rules that you have to follow. You know, I've had somebody told me not long back, you know, to be a Christian, you got too many rules to have to follow. Well, you know, that's often the way sometimes, if you want to look at it from a negative standpoint, then you can. But, you know, I don't look at the Bible from a negative perspective because really it's a guidebook for life, isn't it? And yeah, there's some what we might call rules there, but it's all for our good. There's a lot of things, if we would just live the Word of God, it'd keep us out of trouble half the time, all the time. But yet, we're not willing to follow God's rules. So when we refuse, though, to live as the Lord desires, then we have crossed the line from being a follower to being what? A traitor. You know, we're not willing to follow God's book. Then basically what we're doing as a Christian, we're turning our back on God. We're saying no to God. And we don't put it in quite the terms of being a traitor. We know that's not a word we'd like to have used, but that's really what we become. When we turn our backs on God, we become traitors. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 38 says, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me," the Lord says. So, you know, being a follower, Paul says to young Timothy, if you're going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you need to have that relationship. You need to be willing to follow rank, that I'm the one that's over you, and also follow the Word of God, which is the rule or the guide for our life. The second point I want to make and observe as a quality for a soldier that we see that Paul is making to Timothy, and that is a soldier is to be faithful. A soldier is to be faithful. Now, we see that already over in chapter 4, that word faithful. He says in verse 7, Paul says to Timothy, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course and I've kept the faith. Paul is getting ready to leave this world. And there's something that Paul was not in a prideful sense saying. He's not standing up with pride and boasting. But he's saying that his legacy, as he looks back, he can say, Paul, I can say that I've been faithful. Oh, listen, isn't that what you want to be able to say one day? That when you get ready to pass out of this life, that as a legacy that others can say about you, that, hey, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, boy, you know what? They were faithful. They were faithful soldiers of God. And there are many. I can go through my register that I have in my office of people that have passed on and gone on to be with the Lord. And I can go through that, and boy, every time I read a person's name, I know something about that person. I can tell you a lot about that person, especially the ones who stand out, Lord, being faithful to the end. It just thrills my heart. Now, sometimes I'll shed a few tears over that because they're missed, but you know what? I know that they're enjoying a walk in the streets of gold in heaven. They're enjoying the rewards that God has waiting for them. But yet they have set a legacy. And all of us have people like that, whether it be a family member, whether it be a church member. It's good to reflect upon people like that. And Paul says, I've been faithful. And he's challenging Timothy, be faithful. Notice in verse 3 again, being faithful requires something of us. He says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That word hardness identifies the word suffering, or really patience. You see, to be a good soldier, to be faithful, it means there's going to be required some patience that you're going to have as a good soldier. A good soldier suffers hardships and does not quit when those hardships comes, those trials comes. The good soldier realizes that there will be troubles along the way and is not detoured by them. The good soldier understands that there's pain and suffering at times that is often part of this Christian experience that we live in this life. And matter of fact, in John 16, verse 33, it says, Jesus says, in this world we will have what? Tribulation. God didn't leave us hanging out there wondering what life is going to be about. Jesus had told us, he'd prepared us, that in this world we're going to have tribulation. And please remember that the Christian is called upon to face life, even in extreme situations, and we're called upon to have patience through that, to endure the suffering that Paul says as a good soldier. Hebrews 12:1 says, let us run with patience the race that we're running in life. So in the New Testament, you find that the characteristics of a good soldier is not really swayed from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to the faith. Like Paul, Paul was not swayed through the times of suffering and persecution. And many Christians, and by the way, for our teenagers, there were teenagers back then that lived for Jesus too. There are older adults that live for Jesus. We often think of Paul and others, but there are a lot that we will meet in heaven one day during this time that Paul lived, that suffered and lived for Christ, that were ridiculed, that were made fun of, all for being faithful for God. Now, he is faithful. You know, a quality of that requires patience. And then we see in verse 4, in being faithful, it requires the soldier to have his priorities in the right place. You see, a good soldier seeks to please the commander, right? I mean, that's the one who has the higher rank over you. Now, I've never served in the military, so I'm speaking from ignorance, but I think I'm safe in saying and talking to some of you that whenever you were trying to do your job, you were wanting to first to please that one that was over you, because that was really how you advanced. And so Paul was saying to a good soldier in verse 4 has his priorities right. Look, he says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs, that is the things of this world, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So whoever enlisted you, and in our case, we've been enlisted into the family of God by whom? Jesus. One day, somebody came knocking at your heart's door. Remember that? Holy Spirit of God come dealing with you, convicting you. And you know, at that moment, the Holy Spirit of God says, okay, I'm calling out to you. I want to enlist you into the family of God. Now, it's left to us whether we want to join the family of God or not. But thank God for the tugging at our heart that God reaches down at that point in time and enlist us. And so what do we do next? As we get saved, it's our desires. We grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that we have priorities in our life, that we live for God. And notice the good soldier has no higher goal in life than pleasing his superior. You see, the good soldier knows that anything which interferes with his performance in the military must be done away with. That is why you got to do away with the distractions, you know, of going off to battle. You know, there's a lot of things that can interfere. In this case, Paul was saying that for the believer, listen, don't get caught up in the world. The good soldier, listen, to please his superior, wants to do whatever he has to do to get the job done. So the question is, who comes first in your life? You know, you say, I'm a Christian preacher, I want to please God, but really, do we? Do we really set out to want to please God every day? Is that our goal? Is that our desire? I think that that's what we want to do, but sometimes the things of this world have a way to pull us away from God, doesn't it? And that's what Paul was saying to Timothy. Don't allow yourself to be entangled in verse 4 with the things of this world. He says the affairs. I mean, there's a lot of... Listen, this doesn't just affect young people. This affects adults too. Part of the problem we see in our churches today, we've got a lot of the adults have just fallen off and not serving God like they used to. Why? A lot of it has to do because they've gotten entangled with the affairs of this life. And so God is somewhere down the list. A good soldier has to be faithful. Has to have that patience to be faithful. Has to have priorities in the right place. You see, pleasing Jesus ought to be the first priority of every child of God. I think we'll all would amen on that, but yet we have to ask, are we doing that? 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, Paul says, do all to the what? To the glory of God. Do all that we do to the glory of God. A good soldier is faithful when it comes to patience and priorities. A good soldier is faithful when it comes to practice as well. Verse 7, look to the latter part of chapter 4 and verse 7. Paul says, I've fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Well, in practice, what do we see we're to be faithful in doing? Keeping the faith simply means that we're to guard the truths of the faith. Do we still believe what we were taught from God's Word? Or do we think it's old-fashioned? Or it's outdated? Some people believe the Bible's outdated. Some of your modern-day thinking is that the Bible needs to be updated to today's time. Can you imagine? And by the way, they're doing that. Some are taking the Bible and rewriting the Bible and updating it to today's time where it fits into society of the time. Can you imagine trying to live by that book? By the way, that's only a book. That's not the Bible. Those who take the Bible and rewrite it, that's not God's Word. God's Word is this inspired Word of God that from Genesis to Revelation, and by the way, God's even told us in the Revelation not to mess with His Word. But there are those today that are rewriting it to fit the times, to fit lifestyles today, so that, you know, we can all feel good about ourselves, so that we don't feel guilty. And you got some of these so-called preachers that are preaching from that so-called Bible. And that's why a lot of people are flocking to these congregations, and because they're not, that preacher is not preaching, so-called preacher, he's not preaching the real Word of God. And by the way, I don't know about you, but sometimes the Bible steps on my toes, doesn't it you? Because there's some things in the Word of God that we need to be reading and we need to live by, but it's when God points out sin, I don't like that. Makes me uncomfortable when God says, hey, you've sinned. I sinned this past week. I'll sin next week. Now, I'm not bragging about it. But I know that that's part of my nature. Now, as like Paul, I strive to sin less. That's our goal, right? I don't wake up today thinking, well, I wonder what kind of sin I can get into. No, when that sin approaches me, and when it approaches you, it ought to be our goal that, hey, I'm not going to give in to that. It could involve a bad thought. I mean, it could be how you treated somebody. It may not be a major sin that we like to categorize it, but yet we don't like to be reminded of how that we're sinners. And you can find churches today that they won't preach against sin. And sadly, the very people that are under that will never find Jesus as Savior, because the only way to find heaven is to know you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Oh, listen, we need to guard the truth. The good soldier takes care of the things delivered unto him. You know what? That good soldier that's faithful is determined to do a good job, right? That good soldier is determined to refuse to do anything to bring disgrace and dishonor upon the superior. That's why, you know, whenever our military personnel, when they join up for the military, whatever branch it is, doesn't it just, for those of you that have served, doesn't it just anger you when somebody has turned their back upon this country? And those who have been on the battlefield and they retreated and they became a traitor. Now granted, I haven't been in positions like that. And I know that maybe there's temptations to go down that road, but thank God for the good soldiers who have stood the test of time. Can you imagine what our country would be in this today had it not been for those who we remember today stood faithful in the battle? I mean, knowing that they're giving their life, knowing that, hey, this is it. I'm not going to come out of this alive. But they gave their life for this country. They were faithful. They wasn't traitors. Because they were patient, they had priorities, and they practiced what they believed. And you know what? That's all God asks of us as believers. That God asks us, listen, yeah, somebody's going to make fun of you from time to time. Somebody's going to call you names. Somebody's going to mock you. That's most of what we put up with as Christians. But it's nothing compared to what men of the Bible, many of them in old times, went through. That we can know what true faith is all about today. Let me ask you, are you keeping the faith this morning? Are you on that line of, well, I don't know whether I'm going to go to church or not. I don't know if I'm going to keep serving God or not. Go to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27 with me. Hold your place in our text. But in Philippians chapter 1, and then I want you to go to Colossians. They're right there together. Philippians chapter 1, and I want you to look in verse 27. Philippians 1, 27. Paul again writes, notice what he says here concerning the truth and our practicing our faith. He says in verse 27 of Philippians 1, only let your conversation. Now that word in that verse, word conversation means your conduct. Only let your conduct be as it becometh. In other words, becometh of the gospel. Let it be worthy of the gospel. Let your conduct, what others see about your life, be worthy of the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in the Spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You know what he was saying as he's writing this letter to the church at Philippi? He's writing to this church and he says, for you believers out there in the church at Philippi, and he might as well just be saying for us here at Fountain City Baptist Church, let your conduct be so that when others see your life, they see the gospel living out. They see Christ in you. That you're standing firm. You know, if God tarries and we're still around for 10 more years, it'd be great if folks that maybe moved off and came back and visited and they see Brother So-and-so. Boy, they're still faithful in church. Sister So-and-so. Now, I've been here 29 years as pastor, and that's a little unusual. And for pastors to stay that long, you hadn't run me off yet. And I often tell people, how long I've been. Oh, preacher, other preachers that. And I said, well, they hadn't run me off yet. They may be tired of me sometime, but they hadn't run me off yet. But you know what? One thing that I hope that we can all say, and I'm not bragging, but you know, be faithful where God plants you. Just be faithful. You know, sometimes we look for bigger and better things sometimes. And yeah, we don't have the largest church in Prattville. And sometimes there's some negatives to that. All right? And I could give you some down the road. But you know what? What we want to be, wherever God plants us, let's be our best for the Lord Jesus Christ. And give our best. And be found faithful follower of the Lord. Because I have found that, you can find over 80% of the churches in America, listen to me, over 80% of them are 200 and less in numbers. So there's a lot of small works across this great land are doing great jobs for the Lord Jesus Christ because they've got some faithful people who have planted themselves in that community and reaching out with the gospel. There's churches in Alaska. There's a few pastors up there I get information from, and we communicate that they're way off in places that you and I have never heard about. But they're faithful preaching the word. And the people are faithful to get out in the cold in the winter and go serve God. The third quality that I want to point out to this morning that Paul is telling young Timothy, and that is, he says, to be a fighter. Oh, listen, a quality of a good soldier is a fighter. Now, Paul is describing the soldier as a fighter who is, number one, determined. A good fighter as a soldier has to be determined, right? You see, that good soldier does not retreat in the face of the enemy. That good soldier does not run when the fight is before them. Instead, that good soldier stands his ground and fights the battle until the battle is over. And you know what? The challenge that Paul has given to Timothy and to all of us as Christian soldiers today, we have to stay faithful in the battle. But we're seeing a lot drop out along the way. You see that in all of our churches. And I challenge you to be among that number that stays faithful, not to be that number that drops out. Let's be determined to stay in the battle. A good soldier is not only determined, a good soldier, when he's a fighter, he's driven. Right? The good soldier realizes that the battle does not run according to his time frame. I mean, some of you went, I don't know if any of you fought in any battles before. You never go into this battle, whether it be the President of the United States or your superior, saying, okay, this is how long you're going to be there. You just never know. It's something that you may be there for a long period of time, so we have to be prepared. We have to be driven to fight in the battle. That good soldier knows that another's in charge of the duration of the time. Just like in our case, God's in charge of how long we're going to be here. There's times that we might be thinking, well, I'm ready to go on and be with the Lord. Well, you might be ready, but that doesn't mean that God's ready for you yet. Listen, none of us are going to go anywhere until God's ready, till God's finished. You know? I don't care how old you are. Brother Bailey back there, 91 years old. Well, he ain't going nowhere. Brother Bailey, you're not going anywhere till God's finished. All right? There's a good chance I may leave before Brother Bailey leaves. Same with you. Now, I'm not picking on Brother Bailey, but listen. But you know what? I'm thankful he's still in the fight. Brother Bailey's still a follower. Brother Bailey's still faithful. He's still fighting. What an example that is to all of us here today, especially our younger folks. To be a fighter like he's been for 91 years, that means you not only have to be determined, but you have to be driven. And to be married for 70 years. You know, one of the things he told me, I'm going to share this, Brother Bailey. One of the things he told me coming in, he said, Brother Rick, he says, I hope you and your wife can be married for 70 years. He said, because it's been I don't know exact words, but something along this line. But he says, I've loved every minute of it. He and Miss Bailey. So there takes some determination to be a good soldier. It takes a fighter to be driven. And by the way, it takes a fighter to be dedicated to be a good soldier. Would you agree with that? The good soldier dedicates himself to keeping his oath. When you've went into the service in the military, one of the things that you did, those who served, you took an oath. And you know what that oath entails. And it means that you're going to obviously be dedicated to what you're asked to do. And in our case, Paul was challenging Timothy to be a good soldier, to be determined to live for the Lord regardless of the personal cost. The good soldier keeps the faith. And And he keeps it by living it. He keeps it by sharing it. He keeps it by defending it at all times. The faith is precious to the good soldier. And he does everything in his power to keep it pure and undefiled. The question we have to ask, are we that kind of soldier? Are we that determined? Are we that driven? Are we that dedicated as a fighter of the Lord Jesus Christ? And then the last and the fourth quality of a good soldier that Paul points out, go to chapter 4 in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And again, Paul points out the last quality here that I want to point out, and that is he's a finisher. A good soldier's a finisher. You know, I was always taught growing up, if you're going to start something, finish it. Don't quit. When I got into sports in school, I did a crazy thing. I thought I'd get on the wrestling team. I didn't know what that was going to be involved. I just thought I was going to get out on a mat and just wrestle and pin everybody, be a champion. It was just the opposite. I worked hard the first week. I mean, everything that went in, what came out. I mean, it was not fun. We had a coach kind of like Bear Bryant back then. Didn't believe in letting you have water breaks. Man, would work us to death. Football players, I found out later, they wouldn't even be a part of the wrestling team because they say it's too tough. The workout's too tough. Did I want to quit? Yeah, I quit many times in my mind, but I was too prideful to quit because you know what? I'd already had told everybody I'm going to see it through the end. Well, it took some determination. I had to be driven, but after getting through that first week, it was a little bit better. But then all of a sudden, now it's time for competition. And God put me in a weight class with a state champion of all people. State champion. We wrestled every day in practice. I never won anything. The only time I got on the mat in a real match was whenever he was hurt. Wasn't often. But when I got out there, I was pinned every time, most time. So you see, I'm not bragging about anything. But you know what? I was determined I wasn't going to quit. I'm going to finish. You know, I tell people now I'm too far along, and that's not to say that I don't think about quitting sometimes. But like Mac Evans says, think about it, but don't quit. We think about it. It's human nature. We think about quitting, but don't quit. Be a finisher. Verse 7 and 8 of chapter 4, Paul says, he in the last words that he spoke to Paul, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them, that's you, that's me, also that love his appearing. What does it take to be a finisher? Number one, it takes resolve. Really, it does. It takes resolve. The good soldier is in it for the long haul, right? The good soldier does not quit at the first hint of trouble. The good soldier is a finisher. May God give us Christians today that will have the attitude to have some backbone to say, hey, I'll be a finisher. That I'm not going to quit when the going's tough, because it's going to get tough, as we all know it does sometimes. We need some who will stay by the stuff in these days and times. We need preachers that will do that. Missionaries. And then a good finisher has a reason to continue on. We see that in verse 8. Paul had a reason. Why does a good soldier endure hardness? Why did Paul go through what he went through when he could have easily quit? Why does the good soldier stay in the fight? Why does a good soldier follow the leader selflessly? not looking for praise and pats on the back and so forth. Well, the good soldier knows the price that was paid by his superior to make a place for him in the army. And the good soldier of Christ knows his Lord loves him and that Jesus died to make a way of salvation for him. Therefore, church, he loves the Lord. That soldier does. We should love God so much that whatever price it takes, we're willing to offer it. But God has to give us the grace to and the strength to do that, right? So he has a resolve. We have a reason. And then lastly, a good soldier finishes because of his reward. That's what Paul says. There's a reward. The good soldier finishes his course because he knows at the end of the war, every deed will be rewarded by our commander-in-chief. Oh, praise God. For those who stay in the battle, there will come a glad day of blessing. They will hear the Lord say maybe these words, well done, thy good and what? Faithful servant. Well done. Not everybody's going to have that said about them. But that good soldier that we've tried to recognize in our service today that have served this country, who would be our hero maybe, hopefully there'll be those that have that kind of legacy among believers, even in this church today. God help us to be that soldier. Let me ask you, would you classify yourself as a good soldier of the Lord? Not perfect. None of us are perfect. And I realize that we may think that, well, I can't put myself up to somebody like Paul or the Lord. God's not asking us to do that. God is asking us just to let him use us in the way that God's created us and given us the abilities, because all of us have gifts and talents. Sure, there's some things that we can do that today that you know others may not be able to do as we grow older. And there's some things as we grow older we can't do, but we can all be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can all be faithful in what we're called to do. We can all be a fighter. And Lord willing, we'll all be a finisher. Would you stand with me with heads bowed?